This is Great FM.
Napoleon Bonaparte has this saying, a leader is a dealer in hope. And I actually think that's very well articulated as a thought, because in terms of describing what it means to be a leader, that comes pretty close. Welcome to another edition of our series, Great FM, everybody, the official podcast from Great HR. You've got me, Ahalya, hopping on another conversation as we take our interactions relevant to the world of HR one step further with every episode. Today, we're going to be exploring the world of leadership and what it actually takes to build good, trustworthy, and visionary leaders. A lot of questions come up when it comes to a theme like this. What does it mean to be a good leader? What are the qualities a good leader must possess? And what happens when we aren't led by good leaders? The success of anything, you know, an initiative, a program, an organization, a country, comes down to this crux, good leadership. So let's dive into what makes the leaders of tomorrow in the world of corporate. Joining us for this sure-to-be riveting and engaging conversation is Emma Davies, Chief People and Culture Excellence Officer, Masafi LLC. Hi, Emma. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Really lovely. Thank you so much for giving us your time and joining us on this podcast. It's going to be a very interesting conversation because leadership, you know, very, very subjective, right?
Very, very subjective. And there are many different methods and ways.
Absolutely. So let's start there. I think that's a good launch point. Everybody kind of has their own standard of what defines a good leader, and everyone needs a different kind of leader at different points in their lives. But what, according to you, in an organization would make a good leader if, you know, you had to set kind of like a standard benchmark?
Well, certainly for me, it's about being people focused. I think when we talk about leaderships and we talk about leaders who have amazing strategies, it's all very well to have a strategy. But if you haven't got the people behind you or with you, more importantly, then the strategy is going to fail. You know, I'd like to say it's 100% of businesses, people are the biggest asset. Not sure whether I'm right, but I'll go with that. You know, if you've got a leader who's looking at the team, looking at the well-being, motivation, and the growth of their team, that team will deliver anything for you. And for me, that's what good leaders do. You know, they facilitate those great work environments where everybody feels heard and empowered. Emotional intelligence and empathy for me are high up there with leadership skills.
Absolutely. And, you know, you actually, your voice brings an interesting perspective to this podcast, because we're not talking about leadership, everyone, just in India right now. You know, we're talking about leadership from across the world. I mean, Emma's joining us currently from UAE, isn't that right?
That's correct. I'm in Dubai at the moment.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the other deal with planning for good leadership is when an organization moves hands from a good leader to maybe not so great a leader, I think the impact of that is very, very visible. You can feel good leadership, but you can also really feel bad leadership.
Absolutely.
Right?
More than feel it. You walk into any business and you can feel what it feels like. I know somebody came into our office recently to meet me, mm-hmm. and they said, it just feels right here. And they asked me how we measure that. And I said, well, actually, it's very difficult. But we rely on people like you telling us things like that it feels like there's good leadership. It feels like there's a good culture.
Mm-hmm. No, you're so right about that, because it is a cultural thing, right? A good leader can sort of make that cultural impact. But I think when we look at the world today and we look at this idea of ensuring good leadership, you know, as if it's a revolving door, especially in the context of corporate and organizations, how can HR come in and create that sort of momentum? Is that even possible in the first place?
It is if you've got a great HR leader. Look, the failure, there's a book written about this. Naveen Nazim, he has written a book on the cost of executive transitions, failures in leadership. Mm-hmm. Can't remember the exact number off the top of my head. But it's insane. So you think about if you've got a leader who's leaving, when they, so say they're on a 6-month notice and they switch off, They so you lose 6 months of leadership. You then have to bring the new person in. You have to onboard them. And whatever you say, there's very few people who are going to hit the ground running as an amazing leader. You've got to get trust from your people. Trust doesn't happen overnight. So the cost of this failing is insane for businesses. So HR plays such a big role in this, because we can make or break it for people, if you like. You know, we ultimately probably do have closest to the final say on a hire. We start the process. So if we put the wrong candidates in front of the decision makers, there you go, there's failing one. Succession planning, and I'm really interested, and something we work a lot on is cross-succession planning. You don't need to have been, let's talk about HR, the HR manager to go up to a CRHO. What other roles can come into that? The same with the CFO. So how do you look at that cross-succession? And it's really interesting, because when you go back to leadership, there is technical sides, but a lot of it comes down to the person. So it's that leadership mindset, fostering that at all levels. Looking at your potential leaders, even if you don't have a pipeline role for them at the moment, but making sure those people are well engaged and managed in the business. And then obviously there are development programs, but for me, development programs with leaders should really be focusing on cross skills. So for instance, one of my weaknesses before I came here was within finance. So that was something that I had to really learn, and spent a lot of time working with our finance team and our CFO, understanding how my role was actually very commercial. And it's something that we've changed a lot here. So I think that leadership development programs work, but I believe they are very individual as well.
That's a really interesting perspective, Emma. And also thank you for bringing up the phenomenon of succession planning. I think that's a really, I mean, it really does seem, you know, like we're planning in a big way for the future. And it seems like this grand thing. And in many ways, it is. And that, you know, that leads me to the next question, which is when you're looking, for example, you know, as a, you know, culture and a people officer, you're looking to build a culture of good leadership, you know, in some sense as well. What are the tenets that you're hoping to, the pillars that you're hoping to build as a part of that culture?
Look, I mean, I am, in my mind, the CRHO role is the ethics. It's not your internal audit who might do all your investigations. We're the ethics. So we set the standard for good leadership. Mm-hmm. We say what should be done. And we are always on display. We should always be doing it right. So when we talk about the pillars I look at, it's trust, collaboration, innovation, and continuous learning, but also acting as one, being transparent, having the ability to communicate constantly with people, and a willingness to understand what risks there are, but making sure the business understands those risks.
Okay, those are pretty succinct, actually. I think it's easy, but it's a lot easier said than done, for sure. I think that's why we've seen so many organizations do really well and some do really badly. And it's really interesting also to trace, you know, HR's role in all of that, because I think, you know, you spoke of failing one, which is to put the wrong people in front of the decision makers, right? And just avoiding that in itself can lead to so much good. But does it benefit HR teams then to actually think of creating leadership development platforms? You know, what does a platform like that even look like?
Yeah, look, I mean, it does. And I've created several in my experience here in the Middle East. I found it a lot easier to do here, actually, than back in the UK. But it has to start with self-awareness, because if you think you are a leader, but you're not prepared to look at your own strengths and weaknesses and the impact you have on others, anything you do is going to fail. So there's a lot of self-awareness around the leaders. How to build relationships, that would be something that I'd look at immediately, because a leader who doesn't have good relationships with the rest of the business will ultimately not succeed. And adaptability. A leader's got to be able to turn their hands at probably absolutely anything at any moment. And emotional intelligence, again, going back to that for me, and every good or great leader that I've worked with has that understanding of people.
That's really fascinating. You know, as HR professionals, a lot of times are put in that space of just understanding people, right? And that's one of the biggest qualities looked for in HR professionals. And it's really interesting to trace how that's also something that needs to be looked at when you're choosing the next leader and how that defines them and how it really comes down, like you said, to the people that they are at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, Emma, the other thing I do want to talk about, and I think this is a bit of, you know, it's one of those fine lines to walk. But in an organization, especially for people who are ambitious, people who want to be in, you know, that CXO position at some point, right? Want to be leaders. It can be a very, very cutthroat race to the top. But my question is, when that kind of environment exists, we've also seen the downsides of that, right? Of excessive competition, of, you know, this tense environment, a tense workplace. As HR professionals, my question is forked, right? One, do HR professionals have a responsibility to diffuse this competition and make it, like, you know, a safe and pleasant race to the top? Or do they have a responsibility? And if they do have that responsibility, how can they do that?
Look, I think, I'm not sure who created graduate programs, but let's start at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So graduate programs in most businesses, they have, say, I don't know, 10 or 15 spaces. And then over a year, those graduates are taught to fight for a single place.
Yeah.
I think that's correct, wouldn't you say, in your experience?
Of course. I mean, yeah, I know so many friends who are in that position right now who are fighting, you know, for that one spot.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just awful. We're creating that awful environment where I'm not going to help you and you're not going to help me because I've got to protect myself. We're encouraging that behavior. So for me, it starts there. So the graduate programs that I've run and created, you have a space for every graduate and they've been successful and they've achieved more than you would have achieved by just having them act like cutthroats for one place. So absolutely, HR have a responsibility because we created programs like that. Everybody needs to be recognized. So when you're running leadership programs, you do them as teams. You don't do, I mean, I know schools these days aren't allowed to have winners and things, but
yeah.
They're kind of right in some ways, but it's about making sure that everybody feels valued and that they can contribute. Because you imagine being that one person that walks away being told you're failed and the impact that that could have on your career for the rest of your life because you're told, well, you didn't do very well at that because your feedback isn't given correct. Well, there was only one place, so someone had to win. I mean, after all, it's not the apprentice. It's not that it's work. It's people's entire lives. Yeah. So I think for me, HR do have a responsibility to the people in the business to make sure that doesn't happen.
No, that's very interesting. And also, you know, there is something to be said for the fact that, you know, a leader forged out of that kind of competitive environment, the chances that they may not be the most empathetic are also kind of high. So maybe that's a bit counterproductive, everyone. And maybe we should be thinking about forging leaders out of more happy environments, right? Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to also position ourselves when in the conversation of leadership development, I want to position ourselves in the context of today, Emma. We are all about the times of tech and the times of AI. It's all we've been hearing about. It's all we're going to be talking about for a while now. I have a feeling. But you know what? There might be an opportunity there. So do you think, you know, in your experience so far, have you been able to leverage technology or AI to actually develop good leaders? Is that something you're looking at doing?
It's not something we've done just yet, but it's something we are doing. And I think, or will do, sorry, it's in a plan. But it's how you use it and use it the right way. For instance, if you say to people, oh, it's going to help you cheat on exams, then they're going to learn how to do that very quickly and find out how not to cheat. That's people's natural tendency, or not to get caught cheating. I think for me, where we're going with technology at the moment, certainly being in the retail industry, is to look more at our customer side of things rather than our people, because we're still firm believers in this business that good leaders are built from within. And we use our skills here and our ability to train people to do that at the moment. And a lot of people still really enjoy that, especially in this region. People do still feel like they need to have attended a training course to have learned something. So we use a lot of mentoring and coaching. But of course, technology through coaching is amazing because you can coach anybody anywhere in the world now.
That is so true. That's very true. And you can actually open the doors to, you know, all kinds of leadership. Again, I think the idea of being a leader, a lot of times is just synonymous now with the whole CXO title, but you can be a leader in many different ways aside from that title as well. And it opens the doors to new opportunities for sure. I also think that, you know, the concept of you mentioned this before, to create a safe environment, to create an environment where everybody is included and recognized, is very important. You know, just to bring some intersectionality to the conversation today, what role do you think DEIB, another very important priority, right, for HR professionals all over the world, plays when it comes to creating good leaders? Is that actually, have we got that intersection correct? Is that something that we're considering?
I think it's still being worked on. I mean, for me personally, inclusion is so important. And we talk about inclusion from all levels here. So for me, it's things like where you say, well, we sent our senior managers to a retreat in America and it cost us, you know, $85,000 each, but we can't do one simple thing for one of the essential workers. That's not inclusive behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So look at your entire business, look at the inclusion and say, is everybody treated? And it is, I get when people say, well, you know, the cleaner doesn't have the same medical insurance as the CEO. No, they don't, but they should feel included. They should feel that they are valued from something mm-hmm. like that. Diversity is something we manage a lot here. We're doing a lot of unconscious bias training around our recruitment as well, to make sure that we keep a diverse team, because that's what brings the business together. That's what fosters innovation, you know, brings you completely wide ranging perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And belonging, I think, we're going to see more and more of that this year, because people want to feel like they belong. And no, it's not a family being at work, because it's a very different experience, but it's, I feel like I belong here. I feel valued. I feel included. And I feel that I've got equity. That just creates a supportive work environment, and teams that have got that will feel more valued and engaged as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think it's just such a domino effect, you know, when someone feels included, they're a lot more likely to be proactive, to take initiative, to be actively engaged with the work they're doing. That brings good results, not just for the person and their personal development, but also for the organization and their goals, right? And then that success could then foster good leadership. And it's just like a cycle. So unless we break the bad ones, we won't be able to really create any of the good cycles, which is what I think we really need to be doing. Awesome. So Emma, this has been a fantastic conversation. You've brought so many unique perspectives, but I think, you know, people relate also to just good examples, to having role models. So as we reach the tail end of today's podcast, I do want to just leave the floor open to you, for you to take us through, you know, some examples, the best modern day leaders, according to you, and why they are symbols of good leadership. That would be very interesting to hear from you.
Okay, mine are a bit different from normal. So, I have chosen three women. That wasn't deliberate. So Michelle Obama for me, absolutely incredible woman. I know they're called First Lady and that, but she was the power, and she, what she's done with her work since then and how she's led is fantastic. You know, her resilience, her authenticity, and determination really stand out for me. The second one is actually a lady you may not have heard of, called Jamie Kern Lima. Now, she's a co-founder. Well, she was a founder, actually, of IT Cosmetics. Now, Jamie created cosmetics because she was a TV host, and one day she had a flare up of her skin online. And when I listened to her story, when Jamie was pitching her product, basically a group of executive males told her that because she didn't look the part, she couldn't possibly be selling cosmetics and be a leader. So her ability, that she basically sold the business for 1.2 million, I think, to L'Oreal. But she focused on people, solving problems for people. So she's got a very customer-centric approach as a leader. But also she champions diversity in the beauty industry. So for me, that was incredible, especially in an industry that doesn't actually do that. Yeah, they were my two main ones, actually.
You know what? That's fantastic. I think you're right, Michelle Obama. We've all heard of her, but very, very interesting to see the story behind IT Cosmetics. And again, I think it's fantastic that we're talking about, you know, what it means to be a good leader. Thank you so very much, Emma. It's clear from all of the work you've been doing, your approach, you know, as an HR professional and your approach towards, you know, developing good leadership, that at least your organization is in safe hands. I can say that. At least. Thank you so much for your perspectives on this edition of Great FM.
Thank you.
And you know, the quote in the beginning, everyone still stands true, that it really is someone who delivers hope, right? Delivers hope of a better.
I loved that quote, actually. Delivers hope. And I think if most leaders can wake up every morning and say, that's my role for the day, then what an incredible place work would be for people.
Absolutely. Better than family. And that's if you have you know, good relationships with your family. But yeah, it really is just about that. So I guess what we can take from this conversation is that being a leader has a good leader has a lot to do with being a good human being. And if we can work on one, we're probably working side by side on the other. That's all for today's conversation on Great FM, everybody. I'll catch you on the next one, but I think a lot to soak up from this interaction. Stay safe and stay happy.
This is Great Defense.